as we come together on this morning, thanking God once again for the many blessings that He has given us. Last night's laying down and this morning's awakening. There are so many that did not see the close of yesterday.
Amen.
And yet so many did not see the dawn of a new day.
Amen.
So we're thankful for what all God has done for us. Continue to give Him all the glory, all the praise, and all the honor. This morning, we're going to talk about the Godhead. Talk about the Godhead. The Godhead is made up of three, and those three is none other than the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The three make up what we know to be as God. As God.
Amen.
And there are so many that were argued upon that Jesus is all that there is. And then there are others that will argue and say that Jesus is nothing but a God. We were studying with a young man the other day, and as we were looking at the Bible, he had a book that was written by someone else, was not inspired by God at all. And when we looked in Scripture at John chapter 1 and the verses 1, and where we read the inspired word, where it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The writings that he was reading from said that he was a God. And quickly it alarmed him. And needless to say, that book is not a book that we should be looking at and studying to be the inspired Word of God, because it dismisses Jesus as being part of the Godhead. He is not a God, He is God. The Bible teaches, as the scripture reference was made there, read from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." You continue to read in John chapter 1, and we will see that in the beginning, that Jesus was there. It says in verse 2, "He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was nothing, was not anything made that was made." Going back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, "And God said, let us make man in our own image." Is that not plain? Is that not clear? Is that not in black and white that we should be able to understand what God's Word says? There are some say that's hard to understand. Well, Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I ask this question as we talk about this, and you may be able to see this clearly, and again, you may not. When the sun shines, do we not understand that it gives off light, it gives off heat, and it gives off power? Those three make up the sun. Is that hard to understand? No, we say that's easy. We look at time and we understand things in our past, things that are present, and things in the future. And we call it time. Isn't that easy to understand? What about matter? You have solids, you have liquids, and you have gases. Is that easy to understand? What about space? You have length, you have breadth, and you have height. Easy to understand, isn't it? Well, if that's so easy to understand, well, why can we not understand that we have the Father, we have the Son, and we have the Holy Spirit, and we have God?
Amen.
The Father is not the Son, or the Son is not the Father, and the Holy Spirit is neither of those as well. And if you read it again, the Father is not the Holy Spirit is not the Son is not the Father. Simple. When we look in Matthew chapter 28, we find these words, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye into all the world. Go ye into all the world. He says, and make disciples of all nations. This is what it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We're looking at authority there. Authority. Knowing again that when we think about what God has commanded us to do, we don't just look at the Father, we don't just look at the Son, we don't just look at the Holy Spirit, but we look at all three. Because again, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the verse 16, it tells us that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. All Scripture, not part of it, but all Scripture. So we look at all three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we look at what each one of them has accomplished and what each one of them desires of us and what each one of them desired of them. If you go and you study the book of John, all through it, it points out the three that's in the Godhead. Points out the three, not four, not five, not six, but it points out the three. Not just one, but it points out three. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The prayer that Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. What Antonio mentioned this morning, the model prayer, where they prayed, you know, when thy kingdom come. That the kingdom is here, the kingdom is in existence. But the Lord's Prayer, just one of them, is in John chapter 17. John chapter 17, where Jesus prayed for his disciples. And who was he praying to? He was praying to the Father. And as he was praying to the Father, we have to note and go back a couple of chapters that he told his disciples that he would send a helper to them, a comforter to them, that would guide them into all truth, that would bring back to their remembrance the things in which he taught them. And the things that the Father would give him, those are the things in which he would say. Again, the three are pointed out as being God. That's who we get our direction from. We don't get our direction from man. We don't follow the commands of men in order to be saved. We follow the commands that we find in the Scripture. And as we look at these three, understanding once again that the direction that we get from the Word of God. The three are identified. The three are identified. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse is 2. 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse is 2. You can find all three of these mentioned here as well. But we look here in verse 2. It says, and according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. God the Father. Just plain as day. God who? God the Father. Are we talking about Jesus? No. Are we talking about the Holy Spirit? No. He says, God the Father. Clear. Crystal clear. In this sanctification of the Spirit. For obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood. I just want you to really, in that verse, just identify with Jesus, with the Father. That's all really I want you to identify with there, is the Father, God the Father. What God are we talking about? That question is asked sometimes as we're looking through Scripture when it's talking about God. Who exactly is he talking about? This Scripture right here tells you who he's talking about. Talking about God the Father. God the Father. Then in the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. We look at Jesus here, the Son, 20:28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God. For the church of God. And Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. But of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, has forever and ever the scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. That's really the verse we're going to use there. You can go back and look at Acts 20 and 28, but Hebrews 1, 8, talking about the Son once again. The Son, identifying him as being whom? As being God. And then Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, the story of a man and his wife, Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to, the Bible says, lied to God, but yet lied to the Holy Spirit, which actually is God. In Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, verse 3 and 4. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part for yourself, part of the proceeds of the land? Verse 5, when Ananias heard these things, he fell dead. Let me back up. Let's go back up to verse 1 so you can get a clear picture of what's happening here. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part for yourself, part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your own? Was it not at your own disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. You have not lied to man, but to God. And so we find that the Holy Spirit here is identified as God. He lied to the Holy Spirit. Then he says, you lied to God. So the three are identified. And as we think about our lives today, who are we lying to? Who are we serving? What God have we bowed down to? What God have we bowed down to? So we know when we say that we are worshiping God, we understand who God is. We always, want to make it a point to point out he is the creator of this world. So therefore we serve him as the creator. Why are they one? Why are they one? They are one just like you and I should be one. They're one in many reasons, in many ways they're one. When we talk about doing things on one accord, in Acts chapter 2, when they came together on one accord, the Bible said they went together in the temple. On one accord, they went together in the temple for the same purpose. Because of what God wanted them to do, the direction in which he wanted them to go, in one accord, a husband and a wife, they're in one accord. The Bible says that a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one, one flesh. They should become one. Do we really understand what it means to be together with someone? In that prayer, again in John chapter 17, that Jesus prayed, he prayed, Father, that they may be one as you and I are one. Is he saying that Brother Rashad and Brother Roland, that they're one in the sense that you cannot identify one from another? That's not what he's talking about. But when they start speaking reference to God's word, his brothers are saying the same thing. Those brothers are on the same mission. Those brothers are looking toward the same goal in one accord, doing what is right. We find in John chapter 10 in the verses 30. They're one in purpose. They're one in purpose. John chapter 10 and the verse is 30. Jesus says, I and my Father are one. I and my Father are one. Let's go back up to verse 22. At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I and the Father are one. Brother Demel was making reference to that scripture earlier about no one being able to snatch them out of his hand. No one able to snatch them out of the hand of Jesus. No one able to snatch them out of the hand of God. The sheep that belong to him. And we understand when we start talking about belonging to Jesus that we are God's children when we have been obedient to what God wants us to do in order to be saved. Simple, isn't it? It's simple. Or are we able to pass the test this morning? When someone asks you, who is God, what are you going to tell them? Just think about it. When someone asks you, who is Jesus, what are you going to tell them? Think about it. When someone says, who is the Holy Spirit, what are you going to tell them? Think about it. And all you got to do is just give them one word. Who is Jesus, God? Who is the Holy Spirit, God? Who's God the Father, God? Sometimes when they say, who's God, just say the Father. And they're like, okay, but who is Jesus? And you say God. And then that's where it throws them all off. So we're looking at the purpose of these three. The purpose of these three. Not only the purpose, but we're looking at the work. In John chapter 4, verse 34. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. To do the will of him who sent me. Who sent Jesus to this earth? God sent him. God the Father. His Father sent him to this earth. Why? In order to save his people from their sins. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She shall give birth to a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Okay, to do the will of the Father. The will was to save his people from their sins. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what the Father wanted, is it not? To save his people. Those that were called by his name, those that he selected, those that he wanted to be healed, the children of Israel, he sent his son to save them. But yet, not only them, but because of their disobedience, you and I have the opportunity to be saved today. And we have cashed in on that. We have held God's, feet to the fire, You said you'll save me. I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to, confess that your son is truly yours. I'm going to be immersed in the water you gave of baptism. And we have salvation. But we have to do what the Bible says. Amen. Jesus said he came to do what the Father wanted him to do. Came to do what the Father wanted him to do. In Ephesians chapter 3 and the verses 9. Ephesians chapter 3 and the verse is 9. To me, start at verse 8, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, his grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to the light, to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, created all things. Keep reading in verse 10, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, in creation. The plan, again, from the foundation was to save everyone. Ones that believe, the ones that are willing to be obedient. You know, a lot of times we talk about people believing, all they want to say is, I believe. What do you believe? What did you do in order to show that you believe? The creation. We read Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 earlier. God in the beginning. Then we see that the Spirit was hovering over the waters. The three were in creation. The three were in creation. Nothing, the Bible tells us again in John chapter 1, was created without Him. All things were created through Him. The Son, the Spirit, the Father, in creation. Isn't that great to know? That when we say that we're serving God, that we're doing it because that's what the Bible tells us to do. In the Old Testament, we find that the commandments that God had given Moses up on Mount Sinai were for the children of Israel. But then we come to the New Testament, we find that Jesus told His disciples, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. See, He's not taking anything away from God. He's doing what God told Him to do. Simple. And authority, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. People are listening, waiting on God to speak to them. They're not talking about Jesus. They're not talking about the Holy Spirit. They're talking about waiting to hear from God. You're going to be waiting for a long time. You know, man, get up and say, oh, I'm going to preach what the Spirit reveals to me. You're going to be waiting for a long time. Long time. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. Long ago, in many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world, in the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Jesus, the authority that the Father has given Him. Is, you know, again, when we open up the Word, and men say, you know, it's too hard for me to understand. You know why it's hard for people to understand the Word? Because they approach the Word with the attitude that they cannot understand it. That's what men do. You know, if someone gave me a geometry book, algebra book, calculus book, I look at that book, I'm not going to be able to do this. Why? Because I don't understand it. If that's the attitude I'm going to have, then why even say, give it to me? You know, we sing that song, Give Me the Bible. And when we hand it to someone, and they say, I'm not going to be able to understand it. The reason, again, that we do not understand things is because we do not put forth the effort. We do not put forth the effort. If we would only look at His Word, And we would look at it with the attitude as they had there in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, when the scriptures was given to them, the Bible says they went and searched it daily to make sure that those things were so. They received it first off with a readiness of mind. Readiness of mind. My mind is clear. I'm ready to receive what you have for me. I'm not going to say, you're not telling the truth. I'm going to go back and I'm going to look to make sure that what you've said is true. To make sure, not to doubt you, but to make sure. And that's what we tell people today. Go back and search it for yourself. See who God is. These verses right here tell you exactly who God is and what God has done. Why are they one? Why are they one? John chapter 14, verse 21. John chapter 14, verse 21. Why are they one? John 14, verse 21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot here, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. How again are we going to know who God is? How are we going to know who the Son is? How are we going to know who the Holy Spirit is? How are we going to know these things if we do not make up in our mind that we want to come to Jesus? You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 that those who are seeking after God, those that are honestly seeking after him, he says that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He'll be our Father. Jesus will be our Lord. The Holy Spirit will be our guide. All three of them, again, working together. Now, the Holy Spirit is not going to guide you apart from God's word. Jesus is not going to speak to you apart from God's word. God is not going to whisper to you anything new, and actually he's not going to whisper anything to you at all. We have to open up the book. We have to open up the book. Are we willing to do that? They're in love there. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. As we think about, again, who is God? And why are they one? Romans chapter 5 and the verses 5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. He dwells within us. He's not allowing us to do anything miraculously, and he's not coming into our lives in any miraculous form. But he dwells within us. God has given him to us. He's given us his Son. He has given us himself. And all of this is because he loves us. Do you love him? Do you love him? That's the question that I guess that we really need an answer to. Do you love him enough to search the word to find out who he is in order to have a relationship with him? You know, we look at people, and we look at people as they look at people, and we hear people say, I'm in love with that person. You ever heard of love at first sight? You know, there was a man by the name of Samson who saw this woman, and she was beautiful to him. And he said, I want her for my wife. You know, you're not supposed to have her, Samson, but that's okay. Samson wanted her. Samson, I don't really believe he was in love with the woman. It was a little bit more to it or a little bit less to it. But we can know God, we can begin to realize how much we appreciate God, and we can grow to love him, and we must love him. We must love him more than anything in this world, more than anything in this world, because he has loved us. He has loved us. You know, God could have wiped out the whole world because of sin, but he did not, because he loves us. In John chapter 8, verse 18, John chapter 8, verse 18, find that they are witnesses of one another. John chapter 8, verse 18. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. Well, you know, who's the witness here? The Son is the witness and the Father is the witness. But we got these people running around calling themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. God doesn't need them. You want me to really let you in on a big secret? God does not want them to witness for him and say that they're Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, he desires for them to be saved, but they don't want to be saved. Those are the ones that have written that other book, a new world translation. You know that new world translation, they have a makeover. If some of you have not noticed yet, their makeover is not that red book or green book anymore. It has a silver binding. And Brother Mark, I was going to show you one of those nice little books. It throws you off for a second. And it throws you off until you open it up and begin to read it. And you find that they are really not witnesses of God. Because what did the Bible say right here? That the Son bears witness of the Father and the Father bears witness of the Son. If we can understand that they are trying to get us to know who the other is, then we have a problem. And the problem is we do not believe in God's word. John chapter 16, verse 8. John chapter 16, verse 8. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. When who comes? When the Holy Spirit comes. See, again, they're bearing witnesses of one another concerning sin because they do not believe me. Concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth and will speak on his own authority, will not speak on his own authority. Whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me and he will take what is mine and declare to you. And that the Father has is in all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, what he will take, what is mine, and declare it to you. The Father bears witness of the Son bears witness of the Father, and the Spirit is actually bearing witness of both of them. Amen. You ever had someone to talk on your behalf or speak up on your behalf? Sometimes you'd rather that they did not, because they're not really telling the truth, they're not telling the whole story. Well, the Father is telling you all that you need to know. The Son is telling you all that you need to know. The Spirit has told us all that we need to know. And we find all of those things in God's Word, not outside of it, by not another book, not by some new revelation, but by the book in which we call the Bible, from the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation. We find the truth concerning who God is. And we need to accept that. And we need to apply those things to our lives before it's everlasting too late. There's no new doctrine. They are one because of the doctrine that we find here in Scripture. John chapter 7 and the verse is 16. John chapter 7 and the verse is 16. So Jesus answered them, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. Wow. You ever been sent somewhere by someone? And all you had to do is say, such and such sent me. And they said, wait just a minute, I'm going to go get what you need. All you got to do is mention their name. Jesus, he came to teach the things in which the Father gave him. To teach the things. Now, again, they're in one accord. The Spirit, when he gave the word to men to write down, he gave them the word in which the Father gave him. Nothing new. Nothing new. If it's new, we don't want it. We don't want it if it's new. In John chapter 6, verse 38. John chapter 6 and the verses 38. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Came down from heaven, left his mighty home in glory, we sing, to bring to us redemption story. Who gave him that redemption story? The Father gave it to him. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Isn't that great? That we can hear the voice of Jesus. That we can look in the Word and find out the things in which we need to do. That we can be guided by the Holy Spirit because we know that the Holy Spirit wrote this Word down. You know, how many of us, again, you know, McNally, you remember that big world atlas or that big atlas book that you used to buy in order to travel from point A to point B? Get that highlighter and you mark it up. Now, what were you doing? You were following that road map. That's what you were following. You didn't want McNally to come down to you, or you wasn't said, McNally told me to go this way, or McNally told me to go that way. He did not call you up and tell you which way to go. He didn't whisper in your ear the night before when you were sleeping. Well, why do we think that the Holy Spirit speaks to us like that today? We have the Word. Are we willing to follow the Word? And understand, again, that these three are one. Do we understand that? Do we understand that when we are baptized, we're baptized by the authority of God? Of God. Who is He? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. Amen. By the authority. When we do things, when we say we're doing these in the name of Jesus, do we understand that it's by His authority once again? Doing what the Father wants us to do. Doing what the Son wants us to do. Doing what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. And we find that all again written in the book. Written in the book. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God. If someone has been leading you astray, we're asking you to close that book in which you've been reading. Put that book aside. Throw that book in the trash. Do what you have to with that book, but stay away from it. And open up the book that is called the Bible. Amen. And do the things that God will be pleased with. If you're here and you're not a child of His and you want to become one, it's very simple. Very, very simple. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. Very clear, isn't it? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Baptism doth also now save us, not to put away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Simple. That first verse I gave you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. John chapter 14, verse 6. He was talking to his disciples there, but guess what? That still holds true today. You cannot get to the Father unless you come through the Son. Maybe you're here and you're straight away. Maybe you need to make a public confession. Maybe you need to just talk to Jesus or talk to God. Maybe you need to get it right with Him. He tells you in the book of 1 John chapter 1 and the verses 9, if you confess your faults, He's just to hear you and forgive you of all unrighteousness. There's nothing that you have done that God will not forgive. Nothing that you've done that God will not forgive. Unless you do not ask Him. You know, you have not because you ask not. That's what a lot of people say. You know, can I borrow $1,000? And you look at them like, you crazy? They say, well, you have not because you ask not. Well, you're asking the wrong person. See, we need to ask God for things that God will give us and not ask man, because man can give us very little, very little. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, if you're an alien sinner, if you have never come to Christ before, that opportunity is yours today. If you are an erring sinner, come back to Christ. Come back to God and get your life in order and follow Him until you die. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.